Welcome to the Healing Soul Podcast, Empowering Wellness and Oneness. I'm Mary Beth Rombach Nelson, a published author on Amazon Books, a spiritual teacher, and I'm excited. Today I have a special guest, Andres. And can you introduce yourself, Andres?
Yes. I don't know where to begin because there's so many things that define me, but I'll start with where I'm from. I am originally from New Orleans. My parents are from Argentina, and I grew up around a Catholic Colombian community, even though my parents are were from a Jewish background. And then I kind of went down the path of achieving all the things. I was one of the first 30 Airbnb employees. I have a master's degree from Harvard, all these fancy things. I even made it to the floor of the New York Stock Exchange with a company called Fiverr, and felt like I made
Wow.
it to the pinnacle of capitalist corporate America. And
That is a diverse resume.
it gets even more diverse if you
Impressive.
really. Oh, thank
Keep
you. Yes.
going. Keep going.
No. But that's
Yeah.
what I was going to say is like, it is impressive, but I realized that I, at some point, that I was achieving a lot of things, really kind of checking a lot of the boxes that my parents wanted me to check off and that my ancestry wanted to check off. But when I reached the pinnacle of success and whatnot, I realized that actually I was feeling quite empty and there was a void inside of me because I hadn't been living a life that was an extension of my soul and my heart. And that's what kicked off my own spiritual journey and what kicked off me eventually writing this book, Captains Wanted.
Okay, so tell our listeners just a little bit if they were to get an overview of your book. What do you touch on? Do you touch on modalities or self-discovery or spiritual growth?
Yeah, I think it's probably in the realm of self-discovery and spiritual growth, but I've done it in second person so that
Okay.
the reader can kind of put themselves in the position of their own life's journey. And, you know, it's called Captains Wanted. The hope is that people then read this book and find a way to be the captain of their own ship. I'm not one of these authors that it's not a self-help book, so to speak, because it's a novel, right? It's
Right.
it's fictional. But at the same time, you know, the reason why it is fictional and why it's in second person is because the hope is that following this character's journey, that, you know, they go through a process of self-discovery, they go through different plant medicines and different modalities of healing, and then come out the other side, hopefully with a better sense of their own discernment, their own power, and their own and a closer connection to their creative expression.
I love that. So yeah, they're finding out their soul's path.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
why are they here on Earth? Why'd they come back this time
Yeah.
around?
And it's hard to do, actually, because there are so many things in our society that function as these shiny lights and bright objects. And if we're not careful, we can go down those. I've gone down. I still go down those paths, you know, in many ways, as someone who is afraid of losing out on love and afraid of being alone. There are a lot of promises that are made by our society and the systems around us to keep us on a certain path that might just be, you know, preying on those fears. And if I'm not careful, I can keep getting, you know, they're tantalizing paths, the path of making more money, of having more recognition. And none of those things are bad in and of themselves, but I have noticed that for me, they can sometimes distract me from my own soul path or my gifts and putting them out in the world.
Right. I really feel like to get in touch with your spiritual path, it's what you're really passionate about.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, it's good to make money and it's good to be able to do all the things you want to do. But in essence, just doing a self-evaluation, what's most important to your soul? What do
Yeah.
you feel passionate about? And then go
Yeah.
do it.
Yeah, totally. And I think for me, what I've gotten good, I think, at recognizing what feels alive inside of me and following also whenever there's curiosity that kind of springs up inside of me as an emotion, I know that that's something to follow. So yeah, those are kind of like the little, like kind of the breadcrumbs along the way that where I know that I'm on the right path. Does it make me feel alive inside? And do I have curiosity around it?
Right. And I like how you said fear, because a lot of times fear stops people from doing what they really want to do, when on the other side of that fear is the best thing that could happen in their life,
Yeah, I think it
a new
happens.
path. And it sounds like you've
Totally.
taken new paths and been brave enough to step into a different role.
Yeah, I am curious how you've kind of seen other people like push through that fear, because I think it's a tough thing to do, right?
Well, I just wrote a book on hope.
Yeah.
And I think if you can encompass that feeling of hope and knowing that things, good things are out there in the ethers to grab and to go for it, and you ask yourself, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, if you fail, you keep going and you learn something. And if you have that attitude of knowing what matters to you and pushing through that fear, I think that that's how we have spiritual growth.
Yeah, that resonates with me. I think in many ways, at least when I was growing up, I thought that if I made the wrong move or the wrong step, I might lose out on connection and love. And in many ways, it's connected to my own survival. And so that fear of taking a certain step is real, is really connected to my survival. But as my adult, I can talk to myself and say, hey, actually, I'm going to be okay. I have the tools necessary should something not go right, or should I get it wrong, to
Right.
change and to survive, to thrive, to be okay, even on the other side of a quote unquote the worst case or the mistake or whatever.
Right.
And that then kind of makes me more at ease with taking the bold decision. And I think another thing that I've realized is that the state of being in that place of quote unquote comfort or safety is actually
Right.
not that safe and not that comfortable. You
It's
know?
just, it's what you're used to. It's like our daily habits, whether they're healthy or good. It's
Yeah.
what we're used to, and it's stepping out of that comfort zone a little bit at a time
Yeah.
so that it feels more comfortable. And you mentioned connection, and I think with people since the pandemic, connection is so important to not feel lonely. And I don't think social media does it for people? What do you think that we can do as a society to get back to interpersonal connections?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to answer this question, I think, in a more individualistic way, which is that
Okay.
because I think the more that I accept and love and welcome the different parts of me, the parts of me that I've not wanted to look at or been ashamed about or not proud of or don't like or dislike or all those things, the more that I'm willing to look at them and hold them as a part of a larger whole, I then show up with others with that same level of compassion that I've then been able to extend to the different parts that live inside of me. And then I show up in society with the desire to not just, yeah, to see everyone almost as if they are a part of me. And which I, in my belief system, I do believe that you are but a mere reflection of a part of me. And if I've done the work to accept the parts in me that I didn't want to look at before, now I'm looking at you as a part of me, and then I can show up with more love and compassion in the world around me. And I'm also less afraid of the places where I've been hurt in the past, which might make it less comfortable or tolerable for me to show up and be seen by others. And so the more that I do work on myself on these different parts, the more that I can show up with ease, grace, love, and connection, which is, I think, what we're ultimately meant to do as humans, which is to like come together in unity with one another.
I agree, and I believe in the oneness of everyone. And I think the more we open our heart and forgive ourselves, the more we can forgive everyone and be part of that universal heart, the heartbeat of earth and of everything.
How do you talk to folks about opening up the heart?
Writing down what you feel, issues that you're stuck on, past patterns that are painful that you keep repeating and repeating in your life, and then doing a meditation of literally dropping them into Mother Earth and letting them go. And I ask them to sit in their heart and imagine the brightest white, beautiful light getting bigger and bigger, beaming, literally beaming out of their heart to reach the heavens. And
That's
that's how I
interesting.
felt my near-death experience. I felt like I thumped back with heaven's light in my heart. And I know that sounds really corny, but we're just a being of energy and we obsess over our hair, over our weight, over all the stuff that we really aren't truly. That isn't us. We are a spirit, we are a glowing light, we are a beautiful energy essence.
So when we feel that connection with unity or heaven or spirit, however you want to call it,
Right.
then that's the place that if we tap into, then we act from that place, which is the place of, and that is the expression of that. Like when we act from that,
Well,
we're
it's like all
expressing.
possibilities open up to you. I really do believe that. When I've let my guard down and let go of the fear, the first time when I went to publish a book, I didn't know how. I mentioned it to one person that knew somebody in Washington, D.C. that Skyped me. This was years ago. They Skyped me 2 days later, total stranger, told me exactly what I needed to do. Now, what are the odds of that? Within 2 days, I had all the information I needed. So those synchronicities open up for people, and those magical doors that have always been there, that person opens them for themselves.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Synchronicity is a great also like indicator and pat on the back that like I'm on the
On the
right path.
right path, it's confirmation. It is.
Totally.
So for yourself, what has promoted the self-growth and self-actualization on your path? Was it the challenges you went through, or what nudged you?
Yeah, I would say that challenges along the way and one specific case that's coming to mind right now, I didn't show up in relationship with someone in the way that I wanted to. And in that moment, rather than go into my place of shame and avoiding looking at parts of myself with that shame, this person that I was with, she extended a lot of grace and love to me in that moment. And that grace and that love allowed me to look at myself and then be honest with myself and say, hey, this isn't how actually I want to show up in the world. And I realized in that moment that I had so many blind spots that I wasn't aware of. And it was really because of that love and grace in that moment that I truly allowed myself to look at myself, because that entire time before that, I had been kind of engulfing myself in the cloud of negativity and negative self-talk and the self-flagellation and all that.
So beating
And
yourself up, yeah.
totally,
And we all
totally.
do it,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah. But interestingly, it was a way to avoid my own self. It was a way to really avoid moving myself. It's such a low dense energy, this that one of like
Right.
of self beating of beating yourself up.
Right.
That like the Once I allowed myself to see that, like, oh, I know that in my heart, I am different. My heart seeks to dance in a different energy and to be in a different energy. I started to really look at and put myself in different modalities and to try different masks and hats on of different worlds to jump in and out of plant medicine, could be different healing modalities, as I was saying, therapy. Different body practices, just trying different things to feel truly what my heart was wanting to be and become. And so yeah, I really do credit that ex of mine for giving me grace and love in a moment of being in my shadow.
It almost sounds like it taught you how to love yourself more.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the key is like, how can I t like talking about How could your near death experience and the feeling that you had of that love and heaven and unity pouring through your heart, how could I allow that? How could I even feel that if I didn't allow myself to even feel from that energy center, for example? Like, how could I even feel what it was like to be love, or to express gratitude, or to feel gratitude, or to feel unity when I was in such disconnection with myself?
Exactly. So having feelings of, I say having gratitude, anything that raises your vibration, you can get a better feel of yourself. And I do self-evaluations every month. And it's just getting in tune with yourself. How does your body feel? How does your spirit feel? What's bringing you joy and what's bringing you pain? Just evaluating those different things will show you where you need to go. And then making the changes is obviously always up to the person. So, writing a book is a huge endeavor. What really pushed you to do it and sit down and do the hard work of writing a book?
I don't know is the answer, but
Okay.
well, first of all, I think it's important to note that the title Captains Wanted comes from the last words of one of my best friends who passed away from terminal brain cancer.
Oh,
Now
I'm so
over,
sorry.
oh, it's yeah, I don't know if it's okay, but it's his life has certainly not been taken for granted since he's left this plane. His last words on the planet were, "I am the captain of this ship."
Oh,
And
wow.
those words, I wasn't there for them, but they've marinated in my brain since he passed. And I guess it's brought me to the point of wondering, well, what does it mean to be the captain of my own ship? And that question, as I've asked it after his death, has, brought me down different paths and asking myself, am I being my own captain, or am I letting someone else or something else or some other system captain me? And I have kept returning to that question. And I think it's been a central part of my healing journey to be able to return to my own power, my own discernment, my own heart, my own guiding value system and light. And of course I'm not 100% there, whatever that means, but I wanted to really share my own process, journey, or blueprint for doing it, but again, not doing it in a way that would allow the readers to move away from who they were. That's why it's in second person, but instead could at least be an experience for the readers to then have an experience where they would come, where they would engage with the words in a way that maybe would allow them to ask the same questions to themselves about whether they were being the captain of their own ship, and maybe give a blueprint for how they could be more a captain of their own ship.
So it's almost like stepping into your own personal power.
Totally.
And if things aren't right in your life, taking personal responsibility to go where you need to go and do the things that you need to do to be an empowered soul.
Yeah. And a lot of the book has to do with following the signs. Like we were just talking about synchronicities, or for me, it happens to be curiosity and aliveness. I think everyone has their own, I call them cairns in the book. Maybe, like when you're hiking and you see
Yeah, the little totems.
the stack totems. Yeah, like you don't have to look too far. I mean, sometimes it's hard to see them, but they're there, hopefully. You can find things that kind of let you know that you're on the right path.
And
And
I think to find those, not to interrupt
yeah, no,
you have
please
to
do.
like get back out in nature. You
Also,
gotta take time to just be,
yeah.
to meditate, to go for a hike. You know,
Yeah.
to take your dog for a walk, to slow down enough to get those aha messages.
Yeah, and I think we are often in a world of stimulation, and some of that stimulation, sure, it can be entertaining, but there are ways I see it in myself with my phone and whatnot, that that stimulation is a way for me to avoid that stillness. And
Very.
I know that when I'm in more stillness, and especially in relationship to nature or my body, I am more closely connected to my creative expression and creative downloads, which is kind of where I want to be more often than not, because I feel like that's the place where I'm in that, in the most heartfelt, heart-led space possible. So
Right.
I know that if I'm doing things that take me away from that stillness or ability to have those creative downloads, then I got
Right.
to change some things up, because I've given away some of my power to something else, and
Right.
that's
Right.
not what I want.
I totally agree with that. My last book was Intuitive Heart. You feel your intuition through your heart, through your feelings, through your passions, what you love to do, and connecting to that energy of source, your creativity, like you use the word, I call it infused knowledge. Sometimes I can write an article about something that I don't even know about, or in a reading, I said something medical, and I always say I'm not a medical person, but this is what I got to download as. And then I have to go look it up because I may have told someone something, but I don't even know. It just came through me. And I think that's infused when you're tapped into that zone energy of just receiving and allowing that amazing things can be downloaded.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be. I mean, I hear you. I do think meditation and a walk in nature is a
Right?
great way to do it. I also think just mundane tasks sometimes are quite meditative, and like even doing the laundry or washing
Doing the
dishes or
dishes. Yeah.
something.
I agree. 'Cause you're really kind of like not mindless, but almost. You're just kind of there,
Yeah.
right? Just
Yeah.
being.
Totally.
So, what other spiritual practices have you done that changed your whole course of your path in life and your career? I mean, you said like the mundane tasks, whatever other things have you modalities that you are you into shamanism or any specific?
I would say ayahuasca and plant medicine has certainly been
Okay.
a part of my journey. Therapy for sure, just
Great.
parts therapy and internal family systems specifically, and relational dynamics, I think, are really important. Different types of somatic practices, like returning to my body and my body's intelligence, have
Okay.
been incredibly important. I'm actually training to be a facilitator in a group therapy program called Core Energetics, or Radical Aliveness.
Okay.
So that's another somatic-based, more shadow work type of thing.
Right.
And then, I actually think, I don't know if it's considered a spiritual practice, but to me it certainly is. Dancing,
Oh,
just.
definitely moving energy. Yeah.
Yeah, moving energy, and like, for not in a, I actually really dislike choreographed or stepped dancing that requires like
Right.
learning. Like, I just like hearing music and letting and allowing my body to just like flow with it. And I find
Right.
that there's something in that place that, yeah, allows me to disconnect from judgment, but also in a way like feel really empowered to be in my body. I think in a world that kind of, like you were saying earlier, kind of like feeds us a lot of these ways to judge our bodies and judge our
Right.
experience, there's something about dance that has always allowed me to kind of return to myself and my own truth and my own power, and to be proud of who I am. And I think that from that place, I've actually had a lot of spiritual growth.
Right. It's like being a free spirit. It's
Yeah.
fun, it's energetic. And I do yoga and teach yoga too, and it does the same thing for me that it can move that free energy through you, get rid of things that are stuck and just
Yeah.
release and allow you just to quiet down and to move the energy through you.
Yoga has also been a part of my journey and a really beautiful one, especially, I've had some traumatic experiences on, especially on the road and in different countries. And I have been blessed to always come back to yoga in these moments as a way to integrate the lessons of these traumatic events and not block the emotions.
Right.
And I think yoga has been a really great embodiment practice to really like allow me to truly sink in the lessons without going into some familiar numbing mechanisms that are always available to us.
Right. Going more holistic is always a better way to go. And crying, if you need to.
Oh, I wish it came more easily to me. I sometimes need to watch Grey's Anatomy to get a good cry
I love I could
in.
binge watch Grey's Anatomy. Those are so good. I just went back to like the start and started watching them all over again
Yeah.
because they are so good.
They're so good. There's something, maybe because my family, like I come from such a medical background. There's something about those stories that really do, really touch at my heart. So I would say, like, I do want to work on being able to cry a little bit more because I think it is a really important release.
It's a great release just to, it's like, oh, afterwards, sometimes you feel like you could fly. You're so much lighter.
Oh, I know. I think this is one of those things that I think women have a slight easier
I think
society
so too.
tapping
But
into, but.
the Grey's Anatomy, what I like rewatching them, I think it's because everybody has a story.
Yeah, that's right.
And
Like,
they did a great job of that this person isn't just a patient. This person's got a life story.
right, they humanize
Yes, and I
these
think
totally.
that's why I've always been intrigued with that
I
series.
love
So
that.
humor is a good release too, laughing. And I know the
Fantastic.
comedian was on one of the things that you've done in the past too. That's interesting.
Yeah,
That
yeah.
that's you got to be brave to stand up in front of people and do that.
Well, I was going to say that I think that the comedy is kind of connected to one of my gifts
Okay.
because I don't know if you know, in a lot of spiritual like practice, like modal not modalities, traditions, there are there's this concept of the sacred clown. He's like a character that can kind of show you things about society, but in a way that's not going to often get them in trouble from the powers that be. So like subversive humor and comedy is used as a way to entertain but also get a message across.
Right, that makes sense.
And I think that is a gift that I've been given. I ha actually have never done stand-up comedy, but
Okay.
I've created like comedic characters online where I embody different characters, let's say.
Okay.
And I'll either write or have a friend write those characters, and then I'll really embody that energy and kind of in a subversive way show aspects of our reality that if I was just saying them so directly, they may not enter because our guards are up,
Right.
and whatnot. And I think humor is a great way to penetrate a little bit underneath the surface. So I do love me like the sort of like archetype of the sacred clown.
Right. Yeah, I know my two older brothers have comedic timing. And if it was ever a tense situation in the family, they could deliver one line with such timing that it would everybody would just laugh and it would diffuse the situation and make it lighter.
A real gift, and I think there's so much about life that if we allow it to be, it's quite funny, even in the in the what's it called? In the tragedy,
Right.
even in the tragedy, there can be humor, and to allow ourselves to feel that as opposed to kind of say, no, we have to be somber and sad and grieve,
Right.
yeah, grieve. But there's a part of like what life is really about, which is about humor. And I think I think that's one of the ways in which growing up in New Orleans, I was blessed to grow up there. Where we viewed death in such a light way,
Right.
we even the most serious thing was filled with so much life. It kind of gave me, and I think gives a lot of the New Orleanians permission to celebrate and laugh and enjoy even some of the darker parts of our existence.
Right. So do you visit where you grew up often? Because,
I try to. My parents are still there. I go to
oh,
jazz
nice.
every year. And I forget actually when I'm away, but when I return, I'm like, oh, right. This is why it's home for sure.
Right.
So many of the ways in which I approach life have to do with being from New Orleans. And
Nice.
I'm not sure I knew that until I left. But this whole idea of like life is something to enjoy
Right.
and to give ourselves the permission to feel pleasure and to allow for pleasure to be a guide. And on top of that, I think that's been a great form of healing for me is to allow myself to feel the pleasure in the places that I choose to be stuck in.
Okay.
So even in my lower energetic states of, let's say I go through periods where I don't want to talk to anyone, where I just want to be
Right.
alone, where I just want to watch a Netflix show, or even in my or in the places where I'm talking negatively to myself, the ability to feel the pleasure in the way that I go into the negative emotion has been useful because it allows me to know and feel the way in which I'm an active participant in staying in my lower energetic state. And so the facility with which I have to connect to pleasure as a result of growing up in New Orleans is has been a real gift because I can find pleasure even in things that I don't think normally I would have allowed myself to see the fact that I'm actually getting pleasure in staying down, for example.
Right. Well, you got to feel the lows to be able to feel the highs, right? It's a balance of back and forth. So, what do you have coming up? Do you have anything exciting? You said you were working on being a part of a program. What else do you have coming up?
This week I'm launching a podcast myself called Rebel, so REBELLE, so really beautiful humans
I
is
love it.
but also in there is rebel, like rebelliousness. So
Okay.
I'm interviewing folks that think out a little bit outside the box, but they don't necessarily have to be, rich and famous and
Right.
just like normal everyday people that you can connect with. Obviously everyone has a lesson to teach you, and often sort of like uncovering stories of people who are thinking a little bit outside the box and challenging the status quo.
I love it. You'll have to share that link with me and I'll make sure and put it on the podcast so people can follow you.
Oh, I'd love that. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for being on The Healing Soul. And is your book available on Amazon right now or when will it be released?
February 11th is when it's released. It is on Amazon and all the platforms you can buy books on, and even potentially in your local bookstore as well.
And that was Captains Wanted.
Captain's Wanted.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And ironically, you said discernment a couple of times. And I have intuitive heart oracle cards that I created. And today's card that I pulled for this podcast is discernment.
Yes,
Yes.
that's so
And
cool.
that was my 2 years ago, that was my word. I always pick a word. This year's is peace for me because I want
Love
peace
that.
in my life. Last year's was hope. And but yeah, the intuitive card I picked for today is discernment. Knowing with grace what is the right path for you now. Allow the white light to wash all over you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. A clear knowingness comes to you for your highest good. Discernment.
I love that so much.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for being on the Healing Soul. And I want to thank all of our listeners today. I really appreciate you. And I'll put all of Andre's information up on the podcast. And I want to thank everyone for listening. And know that God loves you, and so do I. The Healing Soul, empowering wellness and oneness.